I'm going to be sharing a few things with you. This particular message is not going to be broadcast on the radio. Just some things I need to share with you about us that I think you're going to find very exciting. But what I want to do first off is I want you to listen to a prophecy that came forth back when Pastor Bronk was here on the Tuesday night that he was here. And part of this prophecy has to do with what I've referred to as civil war rising up within the body of Christ. Now this, if you were here that Tuesday night and heard this, it is kind of a lengthy prophecy. But if you weren't here to hear it, and even if you were here, you need to listen to this. This is absolutely critical. Now I know whenever we've played prophecies in the past, there's been a tendency for some people to zone out. You say, well, how do you know that? Because when I sit out here and I look out there and I see your eyes start to glaze over. So I'm asking you, do your best to pay attention to this because it is extremely, extremely important. And it does lead into what I want to share with you this morning. So go ahead, Sharon, and play that.
The condition of the church this day is not what I had intended. Because of the blindness that exists within my church, most of my children do not understand how far beneath the church really is from where I want it to be. You have come to the place of believing that as long as you are born again and love me and demonstrate some level of commitment to me, that that is all there is, and that is all that is necessary, and that everything else is secondary. But I say to you, that is the condition of a newborn babe. Most of my church is in that condition. Many of those that I have called to preach are preaching out of head knowledge and not spiritual revelation. I have those in my church who have wondered, how could it get this way? How could it have sunk to this level? For you see, the deeper that you go into me, the more you are going to see what I see. There are those who will hear these words, who are spending their time in churches that I never sent them to attend. But they feel good in those churches. And at times their emotions are stirred and they believe that they are supposed to be in those churches. And yet, I am not blessing those churches the way they think. You see, anyone who practices enough can move and motivate a congregation emotionally. And there are many outward physical demonstrations that people say is a move of my Holy Spirit when it is not. It is simply a move of the flesh stirred by emotions. Because of the way that many pastors have walked away from the fullness of what I desire to be taught in my churches, I would rather those churches be closed. And you have a precedent for this. For did I not in the Old Testament declare that Ichabod should be written above the door? For the glory has departed. You see, when my glory fills a church, you are going to have things happen reminiscent to what took place in Acts chapter 2. For was not my glory released through my Holy Spirit? And yet, church after church after church never experiences my glory. They barely get some people to commit their lives to my Son Jesus Christ. And I would have you know this, that many of the salvations that you hear about in many churches are not genuine salvations. They are nothing more than an emotional decision birthed out of guilt. And there are a lot of the people in the churches today who truly believe they are born again, but they are not, and they are destined for hell. It has taken centuries for me to be able to get the church to the point to where they could once again begin to move in the revelation of my glory and my truth. For remember, listen closely to these words. For if you do, you are going to understand a lot about the current condition of the church. Go back and read with great intensity everything my Son said in the four Gospels. Read closely what He said. For when it came to Him speaking about what would cause His followers to understand truth, He said that would be a result of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. For did He not say that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide you into all truth and teach you all things? He did not say, read my word. He said the Holy Spirit. And the reason He said that was because simply reading my word is not enough. For there are many churches that read my word. The pastors read my word, and yet they preach conflicting doctrines. If the Holy Spirit were leading and guiding them into the truth of my word, they would not be preaching conflicting doctrines. You must see this and you must understand this. My son said, the one that you have accepted as Savior, as Lord, my son said that the Holy Spirit would be sent to teach you all things and to guide you into all truth. On the day of Pentecost, what was it that drew the masses to hear the preaching of my servant Peter? It was not the cloven tongues as of fire, but the thing that caught their attention were the tongues. And then Peter stood up and preached. And thousands were genuinely won to my son Jesus. Not only was this documented in my word, but at the same time, this was also documented by your enemy. And he made an association that day between tongues and revival. And from that day forward, he began fighting against tongues. This is one of the reasons when Paul went to Ephesus and he found believers, and they said they had not even heard of the Holy Ghost. And now, centuries later, you have entered into an era, a generation. You are living in this generation where the ministry of the Holy Spirit is being restored in fullness like never before since the book of Acts. Think closely of this. Satan has fought so very hard, not just to keep the gospel out of people's ears, but also to keep people from understanding about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what praying in tongues would do for them. And you are living in the generation when the ministry of the Holy Spirit is again being taught to my church. In your terms, you would say that this has been a lost art for centuries. And as far as the overall condition of the church is concerned, you are right. But it is being restored now. Not just in this country, but around the world. That understanding is being restored. And here is what is happening. The more of my children that will yield to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and will pray in tongues and will make that kind of prayer a lifestyle, they are following the pattern of the apostles in the New Testament. For how do you think they received the revelation that I gave to them that became my holy word? Those of you who will do this, who will apply this teaching, you are following in the footsteps of the apostles. You will not receive new revelation for new scripture, but what you will receive is the complete understanding of the revelation that I gave to the apostles that became scripture. And as this happens, as you continue to pray in tongues, all throughout this world, those who will hear and receive this message and apply it to their lives, there is going to be an anointing continue to rise up on the inside of them. For my servant John wrote about this in 1 John. He said it is an anointing that abides within you, and it is a result of the Holy Spirit. Those of you who have been filled with the Holy Spirit and received that evidence of speaking in tongues, that anointing has been deposited on the inside of you because it is a ministry of the Holy Spirit to release it. And the more that you begin to pray in tongues is the more that anointing will rise up, it will build up, and it will be released through you. As it is released, it will become like a rushing mighty wind in the realm of the Spirit. It will become like mighty waves of glory, like the seas crashing upon the shore. And it is going to begin to sweep through my church. And hear me now what I say. You are approaching the time when there is going to be conflict within my church like that which you have never seen in your lives. It is going to get, as you would say, very ugly. And it is going to be centered around the truth that is released by the glory of my Holy Spirit as my children pray in tongues. For as you pray in tongues, you are not understanding the fullness of your words, but what is happening is, as you open your mouth and you begin to release those words, you are literally releasing glory, just as I did in Genesis chapter 1 when I spoke and my glory was released and creation came into being. And as you pray in tongues, this glory is being released and it is increasing in this world. And this glory released is going to come in direct conflict with all of the garbage that I have listened to from pulpits for centuries. I am angry. Angry over all of those that I have called and have abused that calling and preached things that I never intended for my church to hear. But I am also rejoicing greatly on my throne this very hour because there are so many that are capturing this ministry of my Holy Spirit and they're praying in tongues and this glory is being released. The conflict that you have seen so far pales in comparison to what is coming. It is going to get very bad. But I say unto you, the glory that is being released is also going to bring about a type of pre-judgment. For you see, I prefer to judge now in a way to bring people to repentance so that their doctrine and their error is corrected than to wait until they stand before me on that day of eternity. I say to you, be prepared. Be prepared to be criticized. Be prepared to be spoken against. And for those of you that hear this, that are in churches where there is not an emphasis on this ministry of the Holy Spirit, and you have been there long enough to realize that your leadership is not going to lead in this direction, I speak to you from my throne and I call you out. You are wasting your time. Get out of those churches that I am not anointing with mighty glory and mighty power. Come out of them. For in my word I have said, come ye out from among them. And you have interpreted this to mean only to separate yourselves from intense fellowship with the lost. But I say, get away from those shepherds who are not feeding you from my pasture and my table. Get out now. If you do not heed my warning, you will stand in judgment and equal judgment with the pastors who are preaching the error. For I am speaking to you out of my love for you. You do not understand how your spirits are soiled by all of this wrong doctrine. You do not understand what I see. I love you so much. I love you so much that I gave you the Holy Spirit to work this work in your life. But I say unto you, if you will follow my words and heed what I'm saying to you, come out of those churches that are not teaching what I have ordained to be taught. Come out now. Do not let the pressure of friendships and positions of responsibility hold you back. Come out now, I say. If you'll do this, and if you will begin to pray in tongues, you are going to experience my presence in your life in a way you have never known. You have wondered what it was like for the apostles to walk in close fellowship with me. I say to you, let the Holy Spirit minister through you. Pray in tongues, and you will find out what it was like to have that kind of fellowship. For do you think that I honored them above you? Do you think that I used them in a way that I don't want to use you? I will not use you to write scripture, but I will use you to release my glory into this world. The days are short. You do not know how short the days are. And this time of conflict has to come. For you see, I want to give my church the opportunity to make things right now. It is not my will for there to be conflict and strife within my church, but this is a form of judgment to try and bring about correction. Look throughout my word. Have I not always brought correction through my apostles and prophets? Even in the Old Testament, the prophets were used to bring correction. This is how I work. Please take heed to my words. I want you to know my glory. I want you to know my love. I want you to know my presence. I want my power to flow through your hands. I want you to represent me. But it is so critical that you get on the path that my Son has established. And know this, I am here to heal, deliver, and set free. I am here to help you along the way. I am here to see to it that you experience everything that I have said in my word you can experience. So do not dismiss these words. Take heed to what I have said. Let my Holy Spirit work a mighty work in you. Let Him fellowship with you intimately on a spiritual level, and you will change from glory to glory to the point that you are the perfect reflection of my Son Jesus.
Powerful. Very powerful. In the 2 weeks that I was gone, the conflict that was spoken of, I began seeing it manifest. In the 2 weeks that I was gone. Some of you are aware of what's been going on, and I'll just say this, the camps are dividing themselves very clearly and very distinctly. Ministers that you thought you could trust are now headed in a wrong direction. It's not a wrong direction of sin per se, but wrong doctrine is a type of sin. And they're headed in that direction. I've gotten reports of people in churches. Division is taking place now in churches. I mean, just in 2 weeks' time, basically, roughly 2.5 weeks since this prophecy was given, it is now, I'm seeing it. It's coming to pass. Part of the problem, I guess you could say, is that a lot of people, well, some of you here, you don't have a lot of contact with the outside world. I'm talking about, you know, what's happening in the body of Christ. And in one aspect, that is good. But what all this comes down to is the fact that, you know, we have a choice. We're going to do what God wants and go in the direction that He desires, or we will be bystanders waiting for a sound of a trumpet. And if you look in Matthew 28. In verse 18, this is right before Jesus was getting ready to ascend back to the Father. He'd been crucified and resurrected. And in verse 18, He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." This instruction is still relevant for now because this instruction has not been carried out. Just because the apostles died does not mean that this word He gave them has come to an end, because the gospel has not been taught to all nations. Therefore, this is still in effect. It has not ceased. Now look over in Acts chapter 2. Something that Bronk was mentioning while he was here. It was the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit moved, the rushing mighty wind, and so on and so forth. And Peter stands up and he begins to minister. And he confirms to the people that, you know, the folks that are experiencing this, they're not drunk. He says in verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come." Now here's what's interesting. We have not yet reached the great and notable day of the Lord. You understand this? Therefore, what happened that day began something that is supposed to continue until that great and notable day of the Lord. Meaning, the things that began in Acts chapter 2 have not come to a conclusion. None of them. None of them. Everything that began that day is still continuing. The problem is you have churches that will teach you that basically that kind of a thing is no longer for today. But until we reach that great and notable day of the Lord, none of these things have ceased. None of them. Now what does that mean? Well, relative to Matthew 28 and then here in Acts chapter 2, both things we see here are still continuing. They're still ongoing. They're still active. They're still alive. They're still supposed to be taking place no matter what a church says. No matter what a denomination believes. Listen, you need to understand that just because the headquarters of a denomination votes and says that this is our doctrine does not mean that doctrine came from God. It does not mean it came from Scripture. It just means a bunch of men who didn't know half of what they were talking about got together and voted on something they didn't understand and said, we decree, in spite of what God and His Word says, we decree that this is truth. Now that's way off base. Relative to us, and look in Romans 11. Let me show you something. When I say us, I mean, you know, the body of Christ, but we could talk about us here in this church. In Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, very briefly, when you speak about the ministry gifts or the ministry callings, it means that all of the ministry callings are still in operation. Some people say that there are no more apostles. Some churches teach that there are no more prophets. Some teach there are no more pastors. They are all wrong. Do you hear me? They are wrong. They are in error. It is heresy when they teach this. You need to understand it is heresy because it contradicts the Word of God. And the reason some people would have a hard time understanding what I'm saying is because we have had it so drilled into us by churches that this is true and that is true, but it doesn't come from Scripture. And so we literally have, it's the same thing that Paul wrote to the Galatians. He said, O foolish Galatians, who has, what? Bewitched you. Most of the body of Christ is bewitched because of the wrong doctrine that has been drilled into them. Thing is, it's been drilled into them with, quote, love. That's why we're so ready to receive it. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Every ministry gift is still in operation today. In Romans chapter 12, or no, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about how that we're the body of Christ, the members in particular. That means every one of us as a member of the body of Christ has a ministry calling. You are an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, or governments in some way, shape, or form. You are not whatever churches tell you you can be. Now here's what I mean. Every one of you in here, you have a ministry calling, like it or not. So it's best if you like it. Even if you don't know what it is, it's best that you just appreciate it and like it. Because according to God's Word, as members of the body of Christ, we as members in particular have a particular calling, a particular ministry. Now, what you have are churches that don't understand this. And so they'll come up with things like the ministry of nursery worker. There's no such thing. Well, Brother Martin, I know what I'm called. What is that? I'm called to the ministry of helps. Well, how do you know that? Because I like to help out around the church. That's not the ministry of helps. It never has been. The church has told you it is because the church has seen a word in the English and went to Mr. Webster to find out what that word means, and they've used Mr. Webster's explanation of the word help to define what that ministry is. And God says, what, are you nuts? You're going to man to get a definition of a divine call? That word helps in the Greek is the word antilipsis, and it means literally the receiving of remuneration. In other words, the ministry of helps is all about people who make a lot of money for the kingdom of God.
Well, I've never heard anything like that, bless God, Brother Martin, and I just don't think you're right.
The reason you don't think I'm right is because, number one, you've never taken the time to study that word out. And by the way, certain Bible dictionaries are wrong.
What dictionaries? What help?
What's that word?
Commentaries.
What do you use, Brother Martin? Basically none.
Well, then how do you know what to preach?
I'm called to the ministry of worship leader. There is no such thing.
I know there is.
How do you know that? Because every church I've been to said so. But what does God's Word say? Actually, Brother Martin, I don't really care. I just know what the church told me. There's no such thing as a ministry of worship leader. But I'm called to the ministry of worship leader. No such thing. But I went to seminary to learn how to be the ministry of a worship leader. There's no such thing. But I went to singing lessons. There's no such thing. But I know there is. No, you don't. You think you know, but you don't. No such thing according to God's Word.
You're making me mad, Brother Martin.
No, I'm not. The conflict that was prophesied is now taking place in you. It's not my fault. You have people, like in that, the word we just heard, talks so much about praying in the Spirit. Most Christians don't have a clue what that means. They seriously don't. So now we have, let's say we have somebody who's been in a full gospel or charismatic, or I don't know, you pick the term that you like best. Spirit-filled, whatever you prefer. And they've been in a church like that for 30 years. Sunday school teacher, deacon, usher, elder, committee member, Christian education director, whatever it is. They've been born again in Spirit-filled for 30 years in that kind of a church, and yet they do not understand about praying in tongues. Then they come into a church that emphasizes praying in tongues. With 30 years of experience in a full gospel atmosphere, is that person ready to stand up and minister? No. Why not? Because that person has not yet learned how to receive instruction and direction from the Holy Spirit. I've heard people say that praying in the Spirit simply means whatever pops up in your mind while you're praying, that's what you pray. That's praying in the Spirit. No. Again, God's Word defines it a whole lot differently. The name of this church is Grace Christian Center. How many of you knew that? It is not Grace Christian Church. It is Grace Christian Center. That is because, as I've shared before, it is a ministry that includes a church in what it does. Some people come here and they're very, very uncomfortable about being here because suddenly they realize they've stepped into something that's not everything they've experienced relative to a church in the past. And I'll just be honest with you, one of the hardest things that I seem to, I don't want to say fight, try to help change, is the mindset that this is just a Sunday, Wednesday church. And that's basic. We are a church. No, we're a ministry that meets together for church services on Sundays and Wednesdays. But there's more to it than the obvious. But because over the years, what a church is really supposed to be has been lost on the body of Christ. People come in with the anticipation. Well, kind of like that prophecy. You know, you do your religious duty and that's all that's necessary. If God has brought you here, then one of the reasons you're here is to find out what your ministry calling is if you don't know what it is. Now, there's a teaching series entitled Taking Heed to Your Ministry. That teaching series will explain to you in infinite detail how it will explain the ministries, what the ministry callings are, what they do, and so on and so forth. And it will teach you how to find out what your ministry calling is. If you really want to know, I mean, if you want to know, if you're serious, you'll get that series and you'll listen to it. Because I am not going to go back and reteach all those sermons. And I mean, God is going to have to visit me in a powerful way for me to go back and reteach this because that information is back there. If you really want to know about your ministry calling and what it might be and how to find it out and so forth, get that series and listen to it. Now, the reason that is so critical is because of the prophecy that we heard about this conflict that's rising up. It's becoming more and more intense. Peter wrote that we need to be prepared to give an answer for everything that we believe. Most people can't do that. So what they do is they send me emails or they come to me and ask me to help them. Now, I don't mind. I mean, that's part of what I'm called to do as a pastor, a teacher. That's part of what I'm supposed to do. But there came a point in time where Timothy had to be ready to step out and minister on his own. Same thing for Titus. There came a point in time where they stopped asking questions and started ministering answers. And there came a point in time where Paul knew that Timothy was literally his equal in revelation understanding. And in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 4, verse 17, he sent Timothy to Corinth and he said, this guy is going to minister on an equal level with me. So I'm sending him to you to help you guys out. That same concept is true for every person in the body of Christ relative to your ministry calling. Whether you're an apostle, prophet, whatever it would be, evangelist, doesn't matter. You can come to the place of being able to minister exactly the way that God wants you to minister in that calling. And the one thing you need to do, really, is take your driver's license and shred it, figuratively speaking. Because if you look at that date of birth and say, because I was born so long ago and I'm too stinking old now to do anything about it, I don't have time, I can't do this, I'm to this and I'm to that. No. Before the foundation of the world, God knew that this day was coming and He knew how old you would be when you heard this message, and therefore He is prepared to take you from where you are right now to where He wants you to be. He knows how many years you have left. And He's here to help you do this. It's totally up to you. You can't make excuses with God because God's got all the bases covered, so to speak. I learned a long time ago, you can't tell God, well, I can't because of, and God, because God comes right back and says, you don't think I knew that? Well, God, but there's this, He says, I know that too. And while we're at it, let me tell you a few more things that you haven't said yet that I know you're thinking. He says, I've already got everything planned out. One of the things that I shared with you, that I have shared with you in the past, is about establishing new churches and so forth. We're knocking on the door of that right now, literally. One of the things that I had a lot of meeting time with Tim Stemple. Those of you that may not know who he is like the administrator, if you will, at Dave Roberson Ministries. Here's what's coming up. There are, I'll call them cell groups, and even for some people though that term has a, you know, sour taste. But I'll just use it as a point of reference. Cell groups, these are people that are praying in the Spirit. I mean, if they came here to this church, they'd fit right in. They understand. We're all walking this path together. But where they live, they have no church. They have visited and visited and visited. They have prayed. They're seeking. But there is no church that is feeding them. Just like in that prophecy, God said, you know, get out of those churches where the pastors aren't feeding you from my pasture. So they're meeting together in homes. Or they might be meeting in like a, I don't know, homes is what I understand. They're meeting in homes. This is not just in the United States. This is in other nations as well. And their cry is going out, we need help. We need help. So what is getting ready to start, and all the details have not been worked out, but what is getting ready to start is that Gary Carpenter, I don't know who all, possibly Bronk, Flint, myself, we are going to begin holding, if I don't know how else to say this, but services with them over the Internet. Many of you know the program called Skype. Well, it's a free program, and I'm not going to go into explaining it. But it's a free program, and through Skype and the cameras on our computers, I will see them, they will see me, and I'll be spending a minimum of 1 hour with them on a weekly basis. These could be churches in Europe, churches in Australia, churches, I mean, throughout different cities here. And what's happening is they're coming together as these cell groups. They're going to be huddling around the computer screen. And in, part of it will be like a question and answer thing as well as teaching and so forth. And really, I don't know exactly how it's all going to, you know, pan out once this starts. But this is going to go on for a period of time. the goal, ultimately, as we understand it right now, is for these cell groups to literally become organized churches. And as organized churches, they're going to need what? Shepherds. This takes us back to the ministry callings. I have shared this for years, that I know that there are people who are part of this ministry that aren't going to be here forever. That they are the ones who allow God to train them. They're going to be used, some of them will be used by Him. He will move them from here to someplace else. These cell groups, and right now I don't know how many there are, and as I mentioned, we're going to be dividing these up somewhat so that one person is not trying to handle every one of them. Ultimately, we're looking at churches being established. And this is, like I said, this is a part of what we are called to do, this ministry, the direction God's leading us. This is pretty exciting because there are a lot of people out there who are genuinely hungry for the Lord. And as I was talking with Tim about this, I said, you know, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul would have done if he'd have had computers. Instead of riding donkeys, you know, and camels and walking, you know, all these miles from city to city, he could have stayed right there in Tarsus in his Lazy Boy, sipping his Starbucks and ministering to the church in Galatia, the church in Philippi, the church in Thessalonica. You capture the image? This way, we will be able to touch more lives than Paul did. I'm talking about, I mean, he had to have travel time. We're talking about dial-up time here. And I'll be able to minister to people in Germany. I won't have to go there. Australia. Places in Africa, wherever it is. This is getting ready to start taking place as soon as we work out all of the details. There's an urgency to get everything that we have on the website, because what I found out is this. There are a whole lot more people out there depending upon our website than what I knew. A bunch. People that don't even contact us and let us know. And what's happening is there's a lot of downloading that's taking place. A whole lot more downloading than what I knew. And this is being, people are burning their own CDs and they're passing these things out. I found out last week, you know, the Romans, the two CDs out there on Romans? Well, there was a lady came up to me and she said, you know, I went to church with a friend of mine and her pastor was she said, I've listened to your Romans CDs. And she said, the pastor was up there and he was, trying to teach on some stuff from Romans. And I sat there thinking, this guy has no clue. She said, so I made a copy of those CDs and gave them to my friend. And my friend gave them to her pastor. Her pastor has been listening and now he is teaching that to his church. And I just, it's like my eyes got opened over this last week as to what's happening as a result of the website. And I didn't even know it. The prophecies, we're going to have to get those on the website quickly. Now, quickly is a relative term because there are a lot of things that need to be done to get things on the website. But what's happening is, because of the nature of a lot of these prophecies that are coming forth, people are crying out and they're wanting to know, you know, what is happening. You know, tell us, you know, and so on and so on. Anyway, it's like God is opening doors to head off in a direction, not literally physically leave, but to head in a direction that is requiring, you know, a whole lot more, not just of me, but of us as a congregation. Look over in Luke chapter 14. There are a lot of people over the years who have left this church, not because they were mad at me, but because, quite frankly, they couldn't handle the pressure that the Holy Spirit was putting on them. Now, you can harden your heart to what He wants to do. I understand that. And what I mean by the pressure was that in most churches, people get to there's a comfort zone. You guys know what I'm talking about. You get to a comfort zone where you just attend the church, you know, and then you go back to, you know, your Monday through Friday life, then show up again on Sunday for church. Well, your ministry calling is not, you know, well, I'm a carpenter. Well, that's not your ministry calling. Well, I'm a therapist. Well, that's not your ministry calling. Well, I'm an attorney. Well, that's not your ministry calling. Your job is not your ministry calling, unless, of course, He calls you into, you know, full-time ministry. It's a little bit different then. Your ministry is hanging over your head the rest of your life until you walk into eternity to face Jesus Christ. And there is nothing you're going to be able to say to convince God that you couldn't do it. And you can't say, well, I was too busy at work. You can't say I had too many kids. You can't say that I had this and I had that. There is no excuse you're going to be able to give, because God knew from before the foundation of the world everything that would be going on in your life right now. Therefore, He is prepared to take you, like I said, from where you are right now into what He wants you to be. Now, you don't have to do this. Seriously, I mean, you still go to heaven. But you will answer to God for your calling regardless of what you do down here on earth. If you believe God has placed you in this church, it is because He wants you to find out what your ministry calling is. He wants you to begin operating in that ministry calling, whatever that means relative to each individual. He wants you to understand about praying in the Spirit. He wants you to understand about conforming to the image of Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. He wants you to understand these things. This is what He wants you to know. Now, I want you to please understand, these are not my expectations, but they have become my expectations because they are His expectations that I have embraced. Meaning, He expects this of me, but He also expects this of every person in this church. Every person who's a part of this ministry, He expects this of you. Now, to be somewhat melodramatic, if you aren't trying to find out what His call on your life is, you are failing in your walk with God. Doesn't mean you're a backslider in sin and headed for hell. It means that you're failing in your walk with God, because part of the reason that He died, that Jesus died so that you could be born again, was not just so you could be brought into the kingdom, but so you could fulfill your kingdom purpose here in this world. And God has given us everything that we need to fulfill what He's called us to do. So therefore, there are no excuses. None. I have none. I can't tell Him I couldn't do such and such because of this and that. I can't tell Him this, and I know that. And the day that I came to the conclusion that there are no excuses, that was a very rude awakening for me, because, I don't know, for some reason it's like I had convinced myself I could slide by without the right kind of accountability before Him, and that He would accept that when I stood before Him. And I realized, that doesn't work. That's not acceptable before God. I cannot tell Him, well, God, you know, I'd have done it, but I couldn't because of. And here He is saying, sorry, it doesn't work. In Luke chapter 14, we've read this passage before. Jesus says in verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life. Let me rephrase this. Yea, and his own career. Yea, and his own possessions. Yea, and his own income. Yea, and his own house. Yea, and his own dog and cat. Yea, and you think that's, some people, oh, that's funny, Brother Martin. There are some people that don't want to serve God in part because they have to take care of their animals.
Well, we couldn't go to church. Why not? Fluffy needed a bath.
Sorry, God, I'd have served you, but, you know, Fluffy called. He says, unless you come to the point to where you love me more than anything or anyone else, love me so much that the world and other people, other Christians, might look at you and think, well, you must hate your family. Why is that? Because you serve God so much. He says, if you don't come to the place of loving me more than anything or anyone, you cannot be my disciple. Now, let me just be real blunt here. For some of you, this is going to mean to truly be His disciple, you're going to have a change in occupation. And the money that you're depending upon right now, you're going to regret depending on it.
You say, what are you talking about? You mean I got to get rid of my money?
No. What I'm saying is this. When you love Jesus more than anything, you're going to realize that you cannot lose anything through serving Him. I've amassed an empire. Yeah, well, He has amassed a kingdom. But I've got a retirement. And you don't think He can match it? We're not talking about giving everything away. What we're talking about is putting everything in order. Prioritizing your life. We've had people, listen, when I've taught like this, but we literally have had people leave this church because of me sharing this passage right here. And I'm not the one that said it. Jesus is the one that said it. But when you bring it home and show people what He's talking about here, we've actually had people get mad.
Well, all He wants you to do is, you know, ignore your family. I didn't say that. All He wants you to do... No, I didn't say that either. And I didn't say what else you're thinking. I didn't say that either. He says in verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And again, that word forsaketh, it comes from a Greek word that means to keep everything in its proper order. Now, here's the part that I have to kind of accept. And that is, not everybody's going to do this. That's a negative confession.
Well, prove me wrong. Very simple. Prove me wrong. I have to come to the conclusion that not everybody is going to buy into this because they've reached a certain level of comfort in their walk with Christ. Now, what do we need here? What are we talking about? Well, there were words, prophecies that came back here quite some time ago that the fast would go faster and the slow would go slower. Meaning those that are really doing this and they're pressing into this relationship with God to become everything that He desires, it's like their pace is going to be accelerated. But the people who are just kind of laying around and laying back and not doing this, they're going to go slower. Also, there's a tendency, especially as a pastor, to try and fix everything for people. To try and make everything right. I tend to be a very hands-off pastor, and you know that. What does that mean? I don't stick my nose into your life and try and control it. I figure you're old enough and you're smart enough now to where if you can't take God's word literally for what He says, and what I can't make you, and I can't change you. Too many pastors are trying to change people when the change comes from within as a result of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you don't want to pray in the Spirit, man, that's up to you. I can't make you. If I had the money, I could pay you.
How much, Brother Martin?
But I can't make people change. No pastor can. It's completely and totally up to you. Then when people, there's a tendency again to try to fix things. You know, the illustration in the prophecy was that runners in a race, and some of them fall down, and a runner running the race stops to help that person get back up and run. They fall down again, you stop and pick them back up. And the thing is, the Lord was saying in the prophecy, the time has come, you can't stop and keep picking everybody up. Because, you see, a lot of people are falling down because they want to. Not because they're just tripping and falling. It's because they're giving up. And they're yielding to really what the enemy is trying to do. Not necessarily sin, per se, but they're just taking an attitude that it doesn't matter as much as it should. See, part of the problem with this message is that most churches never deliver anything like this to the congregations. I'm telling you right now, guys, most pastors flat do not know what they're called to do. Think about it. And I mentioned this before. How many church growth seminars have you heard of?
Well, you know, we're going down to Texas. We're going down to the other city. They're having a church growth seminar. Okay, now why are they doing that?
So we can have a bigger church. Is that what God called you to do?
Well, it must be. Because they're having a seminar.
It's like I shared with you before. God did not call me to build a church. God called me to build people and His kingdom. And if in the process another church grows as a result of it, so what? It's a part of His kingdom. We're just one local outpost, so to speak. Every one of you has a divine call upon your life. And what it seems like is most Christians don't understand the magnitude of what he's trying to do. We are headed into a time of testing in the body of Christ to where our walk with God is going to be severely tested. I'm telling you right now, your dedication to Christ is going to make the difference. I'm not saying, yes, I'm a Christian, therefore I dedicated to Jesus Christ. No. It's the pattern in Scripture that we're supposed to be following relative to what he's called us to do. One of the things that we have here that a lot of people have taken very lightly over the years, that is the laying the foundations classes. You need to understand that these laying the foundations classes, this is material that is desperately needed in many other churches. One of the things that we can do is send somebody into another church to teach that whole material for over a 2 or 3 month period of time to help them. What happens is you have folks... Okay, you remember the example I gave a few moments ago? A guy had been in a full gospel church 30 years. He'd been born again, spirit-filled, you know, but he never really understood about praying in the Spirit. Well, now he's here in a church like this one. And is he qualified to teach? No, he's not, because he hasn't learned how to be led by the Holy Spirit. One of the things you find is that most people who have been in a full gospel church for any period of time do not think they need anything labeled laying the foundations, because they believe they have the foundations already down pat. But part of the foundations has to do with praying in the Spirit, what it does, and why it's necessary. And that's part of what we cover so much stuff in that laying the foundations classes that when I first taught it, there were people that said, didn't understand this. Every time it's taught, people say, wow, this is really neat, really interesting. There are people out there that are using this to teach others because it's very foundational material, and yet the church has, even in the full gospel camps, they have bypassed this foundational material. And so much of what you hear about, you know, faith, right? Faith. Trust in God. Faith. You got to have faith. Got to trust in God. Well, but I'm falling apart. Well, you must not have faith. Well, you must not be confessing enough. Well, you must not be... And they don't even know why they don't understand the very principles about faith. Don't understand the foundations about faith. Don't understand the foundations about confession. They don't... And then, you know, the prosperity thing gets thrown in. I mean, but when it comes to understanding the bedrock of what we're supposed to believe and the results that we're supposed to get, most people in full gospel churches don't understand these things. That's why the laying the foundation... We're going to be starting those classes up again pretty soon. These are critical. They're absolutely critical, because if it's foundational material, you need it as a part of your foundation. Listen, we're built upon the Bible says that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. What that means is Jesus is the cornerstone. He has given the information to the apostles and prophets. It's become Scripture. Now we are built upon this foundation. And they're the ones that gave this to us. So therefore, we have to understand this before we can go further in the fullness of the calling that he has upon our lives. Look at Mark 4. Let me show you something here. In Mark chapter 4, when Jesus is talking about, it's the parable of the sower, and he says the sower sows the word. And then he says, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Well, how in the world does he do that? Well, when you begin reading verses 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19, you're going to find out how Satan works on people, primarily in the area of their emotions, to get them to make decisions that are contrary to the word that was delivered to them. Now, here's what's going to happen. I can tell you right now. There are going to be people hearing this message, and that within 2 hours after this sermon is over, you're going to start having thoughts about it's not that important. Now, maybe not those exact words, but the necessity of this is going to start to fade. And the reason for it is right here in Mark chapter 4. Satan is going to do everything he can to get you convinced that I either don't know what I'm talking about, or that I'm trying to control people's lives, which I'm not. I'm trying to get people to understand how to let God control their lives. Or that I'm trying to manipulate people, or that I'm trying to do this, or that I'm trying to steal people away from their families. I mean, I don't know what might pop up in your mind. But what I'm saying is, these are foundational things that God has given to us in His Word. Now, we either do it or we don't do it. If you're born again, you're going to heaven. But it's better to be born again and go to heaven walking the path that God has set before us. This is absolutely critical. I've had people over the years want me to use them in ministry, and I simply can't. And one of the reasons, in some cases, is because they absolutely will not get with God's Word and what God has said. And so, I mean, what am I supposed to do? What they want me to do is to promote them into an area of responsibility without having any spiritual accountability. And it doesn't work that way. Well, I mean, in a lot of churches it does. But in the kingdom, it doesn't work that way. I'm going to have to pray more about this, but I'm sensing that we might, and I'm not promising, I'm not prophesying, I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm sensing that we might have a little bit of a shift in the way the teaching is done on Sunday nights. And I don't even know for sure what that is. I've got to pray and get more direction. But a while back I had mentioned about a discipleship program. And, you know, it's like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And it never came about during that time. Well, I'm starting to see more clearly how this is supposed to work out. And the timing of the Lord is, I mean, and I thank God I didn't push it. Because if I had pushed it, I would have been wrong. And I think that this thing is maybe going to start coming forth. I don't know. And it might start on Sunday nights. I mean, I just don't know. But the point I'm making is this. God is really wanting to work here. Not what God wants to do here, He'd do in any church that would let Him. You know, we're not better. We're not smarter. He doesn't love us any more than anybody else. Even those churches out there that barely preach, you must be born again. He loves us as much. He loves them as much as He loves us, and us as much as He loves them. There's no difference in this. If somebody's looking for a church that is in part committed to helping them discover their ministry and to fulfill that ministry, this church, this ministry can help. There's no doubt about it. I know what God's called me to do, and I know how to help. If people just want, you know, to be here, to be a part of what God is doing, well, praise God for it. I mean, I'm glad for that. But you're not here by accident. You're here because there is a divine purpose for your life. We cannot approach this purpose and calling the way we think it should be done. We cannot do it that way. We have to do it according to the standard and the parameters that God has established here in His Word. There is no other option if we want to do it the way that He wants. A lot of the things that I teach, maybe they don't come across the way they should, I don't know. But these things about prayer, these things about the Word, and I mean, just what I share with you from God's Word, you know, these are things that God wants us to apply so that He can produce through us what He wants. The Bible talks about that He works in us to will and to do according to His good pleasure, but that is only relative to the amount of work to which we submit. In other words, we can resist whatever it is He wants to do, and His good pleasure is not going to be fulfilled in us. Now, I'm not going to do this, but, you know, I could go through and just start, you know, call you out by name and tell you, know, Bob, you've got Joe, you've got Sue, you have this, and Ethel, you have this, and you know, Bart, you've got, I mean, whatever your names are. Just go through and start, you know, this is you that I'm talking about. This is me, Jim, this is you that I'm talking about. Every one of us. I really, really want you to break out of any kind of a shell or remove any kind of glasses that are, you know, giving you a type of understanding and vision of what this ministry is all about, and that it's just a church you attend. It is not. This ministry is a training center. And I've used that term before. We just meet here on Sundays. And we meet here on Wednesdays. This is not just a church. This is a place to help people get further into God to fulfill what He wants them to do. We are all, Mark chapter 16, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. I mean, this is us. We are all, John chapter 14, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. That is us. We are Matthew 28. Go ye into all the world. We are Acts chapter 2. Living in that time right now. This is us. And quite frankly, I think every single one of us that have attended church over the years, we have been damaged because those churches did not understand the full purpose for the existence of the local church. And we have been lulled into this sense of, yes, we have to reach our community. Well, praise God for it. That's what we have to do. But we've looked at ourselves, and I'll say it like this, as a local religious society and club dedicated to Christ, but this is who we are right here. And that is not who we are. We are part of the kingdom. Some of us are going to end up going to a Macedonia. Some of us are going to end up going to a Galatia, a Philippi, or whatever it is. Our responsibility, though, right now, is to get into the presence of God continually, increasingly, to conform to what He wants and not let the things that Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 4 come to pass in our lives relative to Satan coming to steal the word that was sown and not get distracted by the things of this world or by the, quote, things of religious Christianity. If there was a way that... Honestly, the only way that the fullness of this is going to make any impact is if you allow God to reveal it to you spiritually. My words are basically just an introduction of what God wants to reveal to you in your heart. And I can tell you this. There is a level of excitement. You know, Jesus, the Bible says that for the joy that was set before Him, He went to the cross, hung on that cross. Meaning, He received a divine revelation of what going to the cross was going to bring about. If you let God do this, He will begin to give to you a divine revelation of what is going to happen if you're willing, if I'm willing to pay the price to become everything that He wants us to become. Yeah, there'll be challenges along the way. You know that. You know that. But the end result is going to be literally you begin to see the book of Acts come to life in your very own life. This is an exciting time to be alive. And I praise God for every one of you who are here. Because there is something powerful, something divine, something anointed that God wants to do in every one of you and through every one of you. And in His supernatural way, all of our lives and our ministries are linked together. I need you. I need you. Well, that's all I have for this morning. And tonight we'll be picking up with that series on Psalm 103, Inherited Benefits. Praise God. I don't know what's coming up next. But whatever it is going to be good. Thank you for being a part of this with me. Everybody stand.